house. Amen. Thank you, Rick, for that special this morning. Just a sinner saved by grace. And thank you all for being here this morning. If you're a visitor this morning, I do want you to know that you are an honored guest. We love visitors at Bethaven Baptist Church. And thank you for being with us this morning. Got a little bit of sinus stuff going on, so if I sound like I have a stuffed up head, I do. So, but I took Wednesday off, and Drew preached for me Wednesday. Thank you very much, Drew. I threw my back out somewhere between Monday and Tuesday, and by Tuesday night, I was in rough shape, and so I got up Wednesday and said, I can't stand up in front of anybody for 5 minutes, let alone 30 minutes. So Drew filled in for me, so thank you for that. And but I said, I can't stay away longer than one service, you know what I'm saying? So just have to get back, and I'm not 29 years old anymore. You know, ever since I turned 30, you know, just a whole different life. So praise the Lord for that. Got a thank you card from the Moline family. Dear Bethaven Baptist Church family, thank you for all your love, support, and prayers during our time of loss. It is comforting to know we have a church family that cares so much for us, loving Christ, Jerry, Danelle, Ron, and Ray Moline. And keep the Molines in your prayers, and I know that they would appreciate that. And his mom was a very, very precious lady. And but what a place she's in today. She's in heaven and never been better than she is this morning. Mark Johnson's dad had triple bypass surgery on Friday, and surgery went well. He's up, walking, talking, and so Mark and Hugh are going to be up there for a couple days, kind of getting his mom back and forth from the hospital. His surgery was at the Traverse City Hospital. His mom and dad live in Grayling, so some of you northerners would know better than I do, but it's probably, what, maybe 45, 50 minutes from Grayling to Traverse City, so they're kind of taking mom back and forth. His mom's had a lot of health issues. I think she's legally blind. She can't see very well at all, and she's had just a plethora of health issues. But do keep Mark's dad in your prayers. I know they'd appreciate that. Have some sad news for you this morning. Don Ziegler went to be with the Lord yesterday afternoon, and was a fixture on about the fourth row right here for a long time, and just a precious guy, and we're going to miss him. He's been gone for probably the last year and a half, I would guess, since he was diagnosed with cancer. And because of his treatments with the cancer, his immune system was almost nil. And so the doctor said, stay away from people and avoid groups of people if you can. And when I would go by and make visits in Belding, I would call him, and he'd say, preacher, how you doing? I'm like, I'm good. I'm sitting in your driveway. And so he would either walk out of his house, or I'd pull up next to his window, and he'd open up his window, and he'd talk to me from inside the window. And I said, I'm not here to infect you, just here to say hello. And so we would say hellos. And he was a Tigers fan, so he kept me up to date whenever the Tigers won, which ironically has been more than lately, you know, more than not lately. In fact, I think they're just a couple games out of that last wild card spot. So there's still a slim chance the Tigers could make the playoffs. Now, they won't go very far if they make the playoffs, but, you know, if they just make the playoffs, that would be a huge accomplishment. But so Don would always let me know. He'd say, hey, did you see the game last night? They had a good game, Pastor. And so Don was my buddy, and we loved him. I saw him a week ago in the hospital, and I knew at that point he didn't have long. I got a message from his daughter yesterday. She said, Pastor, they've called the family in today, and she said, we don't expect Dad to make it long. And then I got a text from Annette probably about 3 or 4 in the afternoon and said, Don just went home to be with the Lord. She did say that Don had asked if I could do a service, and I said I'd be happy to do that. So as soon as we get any of the final preparations, I'll let you know when and where the service will be held. And but if you could keep the family in your prayers, I know they would appreciate that very, very much. Keep praying for Sue Walker, still treating for cancer. I know she would appreciate any and all prayers that we can send her way. Keep Dave Bradley in your prayers. Good to see him this morning. He's been back the last couple weeks, so good to see some progress there for Dave. And keep Zach Faust Jr. in your prayers. They said it's going to be kind of a long, slow process as he recovers from the brain surgery that he had, the hematoma that was causing a brain bleed, and they got that cleared up. But pray that he'll recover quickly from that as well. Ushers, come in if you would. I mentioned last week and the week before last that we're going to be taking up two offerings today. And this is going to be for our building fund. It's actually going to be for our gym flooring. So we've already scheduled installation the week of November the 18th. So we're going to actually put a new court down, if you will. It's kind of got a little bit of a foam backing to it. So hopefully it'll be a little bit safer when people, if people fall on the gym floor, which seems like they do quite repeatedly. and especially children. First day of school, whenever there's an injury, we always write a report up and contact the parents. And I think it was day one of school. It wasn't even halfway through the school day, and I'm looking in my box, and I see 3 accident reports, injury reports. I'm like, this is day one. How in the world did this happen? But it was cute. It was cute. All of them said, we contacted parents. Parents said, no blood, no foul. If they're still breathing 3 times a minute, keep them in school. And all of them said, leave them there, leave them there, leave them there. I'm like, well, if parents want to come pick them up, you're more than welcome. No, leave them there, leave them there. We're good. So praise the Lord for that. It just toughens the kids up. That's all it does. It's just good for them. So something like that. So anything that comes in this offering, we'll take another one up tonight. We're going to put directly into the building fund and set it aside for that. And I think it's going to be a big help. If we painted it, it would cost us about half as much as what we're going to attempt to do. So I think it's going to be good for a lot of different purposes. And so, you got to sometimes just venture out there and see what happens. But I'm excited about it. So whatever comes in, we'll put and see what God does. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your goodness, your faithfulness. Thank you for bringing us here this morning. Thank you that we serve a risen Savior. He's in the world today. I know that he is living whatever man may say. Thank you for the Sunday school hour we had this morning. Thank you for the adult Sunday school class in the auditorium and for the truths that Brother Crane brought forth this morning. Thank you for that and for the other teachers and their faithfulness and their diligence. God, I pray for those in the Spanish department this morning and those in junior church as well, those in the nursery, the children's classes. Bless them in a special way. And God, I pray you would take this offering and use it to meet this need as we're looking to kind of update and upgrade the flooring in the gymnasium. And we've wanted to do this for a long time, but cost was an issue and maybe even the maintenance of it was an issue. But I think we found the right product. And God, I pray that you would just give us wisdom and provide the monies that we need. And I pray that you would just use this offering to be a blessing. We pray bless the morning service as well in Jesus' name. If Mrs. Crosland was here, I would say, where do I turn to? And she would say, what would you say, Mrs. Howe? Close. Brother Bergen? Matthew chapter 7. Thank you, Brother Bergen. It's hard to fill those shoes of Carolyn Crosland, amen? She was a hoot. I miss her so much. She'd be in the back, and I'd come back, and I'd shake that wheelchair, and she'd be like, Pastor, that she was? And I'd say, yes, it is. Yes, it is. Matthew chapter 7, if you found it, stand to it for the reading of God's word. It's good to be in the Lord's house, amen? Man, there's a lot of places we could be, but none better than here. So I'm gonna do something a little bit different this morning. I like to kind of have a one-topic message and just kind of work through it and, and work through it and work through it, you know what I'm saying? And But this morning, I'm going to begin it, the passage that we're looking at this morning, I've got to kind of get back on one track here, so I'm going to combine a couple things this morning. It won't make sense to you, but it makes sense to me, okay? So just bear with me, and we'll get through it. Starting at verse number 6. Jesus said, give not that which is holy unto the dogs, neither cast your pearls before swine, lest they trample them under their feet, and turn again and rend you. Ask and it shall be given you, seek and ye shall find, knock and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened. Or what man is there of you, whom if his son ask bread, will he give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he give him a serpent? That would not be a good gift, you know what I'm saying? If ye then, Jesus said, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father, which is in heaven, give good things to them that ask him? Therefore, all things whatsoever ye would that men should do to you, do ye even so to them, for this is the law and the prophets. Heavenly Father, help us as we look into this passage of Scripture and a few others. Pray that you give us good insight and discernment as to what your word has to say. God, we're looking at the greatest message ever preached by the greatest preacher who ever lived, your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. God, as we look at what he was trying to say and to convey to us, may we take it to heart and may we recognize and realize that not only was this true for the disciples and the multitude that was gathered there that day, but God, it's just as true for us today. God, I pray that we would take it and use it in a way that would bring all the honor and glory to yourself. God, I pray for the Ziegler family. I thank you for Don. What a good friend he was, and what a good church member he was here at Beth Haven Baptist Church. I pray that you would just bless the family and give them wisdom during these next few days as they make plans and preparations, and pray that you would just give them your peace that passes all understanding. God, I pray that you would continue to be with Sue Walker as she's treating for cancer, and God, for others that are sick and not doing well. I think of Zach Faust Jr., that you would touch his body, and pray even for the paperwork situation with he and Cassandra, that they'd be able to get back into Peru, the work that you've called them to. God, we thank you for all that you've done and for all that you're going to do. Bless us as we look into your word this morning, and give us exactly what we need when we leave for the day. May we say it's been good to be with God's people in God's house, centered around God's word, in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. So Matthew chapter 7, I'm gonna say that verse number 6 speaks of preference. Verses 7 through 11 speaks of prayer. And then verse number 12 speaks of a principle. So I'm going to look at verse 6, then I'm going to look at verse 12, and then we're going to come back and look at the middle portion of it, verses 7 through 11. So you've probably heard verse number 6 before, maybe not word for word as you would see it in the Bible, but Jesus said, "Give not that which is holy unto the dogs, neither cast ye your pearls before swine." Anybody heard that before? Okay. Anybody read that before? Okay. I can remember my dad preaching on that when I was a little kid. I don't know, maybe I was 10 or 11, 12, somewhere in there. And when we were little kids, we sat on the front row. We didn't sit on the front row because we wanted to. We sat on the front row because our dad wanted us to. Anybody know what I'm talking about? And Jeff and I, when we delivered newspapers, we got little calculators that had stopwatches on them, and so we would time our dad. And we had him down to about 33 to 35 minutes every message. Every message you preach was 33 to 35 minutes. Please don't get a stopwatch, because they probably don't keep up with as long as I preach. But anyways, one day he preached on don't give your pearls and don't cast your pearls before swine. And he probably preached a great message. You know what I'm saying? It's probably like a grand slam. And I remember going home and saying, "Dad, what in the world were you talking about today? Don't cast your pearls before swine." And he said, "You are sitting on the front row. Were you not?" Dad, of course I was listening. Of course. And so he gave me a very good explanation. And I forgot what it was. So I got to come up with something. Been working on it all week long. What did my dad tell me? The greatness of getting old and forgetting everything. Jesus said, "Give not that which is holy unto the dogs, neither cast your pearls before swine." I think there's three main characters, if you will, in this particular preference. Jesus talked about the dogs and the swine. I'm just going to call it the dogs and the hogs. You okay with that? Because they rhyme. When we think of dogs and hogs, we you have to go back to Bible times, because they didn't have dogs like we have dogs today. Okay? Anybody have dogs at your house? Any of dogs in your house? And your dogs sleep with you at your house? Okay, this was not the way it was in Bible times. I think in Bible times, it's like it is today in Jamaica. If you go and visit Jamaica, especially the part that we went to, Kingston, we've been there several times. But if you go to Kingston, Jamaica, you'll see a lot of dogs. But the whole time I've been there, Jeff, I've never seen anybody that had one of the dogs as a pet. They're not pets. They're wild, ravenous, ravening animals. You don't want to pet them. You don't want to touch them. I mean, you may want to, but if you did it once, you'd probably never do it again. You want to talk about biting the hand that feeds you. That's literally what they would do. They're just wild. They run wild with sheep and goats all through the streets. And I've asked the missionary more than one occasion. In fact, we've had people say, I want to take them home. No, we wouldn't even get him on this bus, I'll be honest with you. And if he did, he'd probably rend every one of us in half. So we're not taking that dog anywhere, let alone trying to get it all the way back to the United States of America. But in Bible days, they were thought of as the despicable creatures. Obviously, Jesus was a Jew. Obviously, his disciples were Jews, and probably most of the crowd there were Jews. And when they thought of a hog, they thought of a very filthy animal. I mean, they were told by, of course, according to Old Testament law, they were not to eat anything that came from a pig. They couldn't eat sausage, ham, and bacon. What a horrible lifestyle that must have been. But anyways, Jesus took that ordinance and nailed it to a cross. So even a Jew is freed from that, but I know some that still don't. And even other religions, some of those don't either. But welcome to Independent Baptist Fundamentalism. You know what I'm saying? We can eat it all. Amen. Yes. Praise the Lord. And we probably eat things we shouldn't even eat. Amen. But I haven't had a McDonald's fry in over 60 days. Just want you to know that. 60 days. I'm counting. I'm waiting until probably day number 61, to be honest with you. But so Jesus is talking, first of all, about the valuable. He said, don't cast that which is holy unto the dogs, neither cast ye your pearls before swine. So he's talking about the valuable, that which is holy, pearls, which are very costly, stone, if you would, gem. Then he talks about the hogs and the dogs, and those would be the vile. But not only did he say they were vile, but then he said they were violent. Here's what he said. Give not that which is holy unto the dogs, neither cast your pearls before swine, lest they trample them under their feet. Okay? What does a pearl necklace mean to a wild dog? Nothing. What does it mean to a hog? Nothing. And so Jesus said, here's what's going to happen. He said, be careful in giving something valuable to somebody or something that's vile or violent. In other words, I think I can take it one step further. Jesus was saying, be careful that you don't try to give too much spiritual truth to someone that is unspiritual. Hold on. I know what somebody's going to say. Pastor, are you saying we shouldn't witness people? No, I'm not saying that at all. But if you've ever had a conversation with somebody that was unsaved, have you ever discussed a biblical truth such as tithing or church attendance or how about abstinence? They think you've just totally lost it. You try to explain to this world why you don't drink alcohol, and they'll say, no, even Jesus turned the water into wine. They have no comprehension of the spiritual application behind why Jesus said, wine is a mocker, strong drink is raging, and whosoever is deceived thereby is not wise. See, they don't have the ability to discern that. You okay with that? So here's what Jesus was saying. He said, be careful that you don't take that which is valuable and just give it to that person or that thing that might be vile, because Jesus said, after they trample them under their feet, they're going to come and rend you. That word rend literally means to tear you apart. So Jesus is saying, use discretion. If you remember, we preached last week on judging. He's not telling them to judge the dogs and to judge the hogs. Can I tell you why? You didn't have to judge them. They were very distinct in who they were. They were very distinct in what they represented. So when you saw a hog back in Jesus' day, or you saw a dog back in Jesus' day, you immediately said to yourself, that's not a friendly creature. That's not something I'm going to invite over to my house. Or that's not something I'm going to partake of. I'm going to stay as far away from them as I can. Jesus said, just be careful that you don't take that which is holy and valuable and give it to somebody or something that can't appreciate it or understand what it's intended for. So I believe he gives us an explanation, but then he gives us an exhortation. I'm going to go to Matthew chapter 13 to give you the exhortation. Matthew chapter 13, starting in verse number 10, Jesus said, and the disciples came and said unto him, why speakest thou unto them in parables? He answered and said unto them, because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it is not given. For whosoever hath, to him shall be given, and he shall have more abundance. But whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken away even that he hath. Therefore, speak I to them in parables, because they seeing, see not, and hearing, they hear not, neither do they understand. And in them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, which saith, by hearing ye shall hear, and shall not understand, and seeing ye shall see, and shall not perceive. For this people's heart is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes have they closed, lest at any time they should see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and should understand with their heart, and should be converted, and I should heal them. What Jesus was saying was literally a reiteration of Matthew chapter 7 and verse 6 when he said, don't take that which is valuable and cast it before the vile or the violent, because Jesus said, here's what's going to happen. They're going to take it, they're going to trample it under their feet, and then they're going to come and they're going to tear you in half. So when his disciples came, as they began to hear Jesus teach and to preach, so when disciples came to him and said, Jesus, why do you speak to these people in parables? In other words, why don't you make your sayings or your preaching or your teaching more understandable for the common man? And Jesus said, oh, that's easy. He said, just because they have eyes doesn't mean they can see spiritually. And just because they have ears doesn't mean they're going to give me an ear spiritually. And he said, here's the problem. Their heart is waxed gross.
They've already made up their mind. They've already decided the direction they're going to go into. There's nothing that I could say that could change the direction that they're going in. Their mind is already made up. So he said, I'm going to give it to them in a parable, and if they really wanted to understand it, they could understand it. If they wanted to search it out and seek it out, they could do all of those things. They want me to hand them everything on a silver platter, and all they're going to do is take every word that I say and try to use it against me. That's what Jesus was saying. You know what he's saying? Don't cast your pearls before swine. Don't cast that which is holy before the dogs. He's not saying don't witness to people. He's not saying don't give people a gospel tract. He's just saying you got to recognize that sometimes there are going to be some people that are going to look at you and they're going to laugh at you and they're going to make fun of you and they're going to ridicule you and they're going to do everything they can to take whatever good you have to say to them. They're going to use it against you and turn it against you so literally they can rend you in half. They'll take everything spiritual that you tell them and they'll say, well, you're not spiritual because you did this and you did this and you did this. And they'll do everything they can to convince you that you shouldn't even call yourself a Christian. Why? Because their desire isn't to get to know God. Their desire is to try to ridicule everybody that claims to know God. Are we good with that? Okay, let's go to verse number 12. Jesus said in verse number 12, therefore, all things whatsoever ye would that men should do to you, do ye even so to them, for this is the law and the prophets. When you hear that, does that not sound like the golden rule? Do ye unto others as you would have them do unto you? It basically is the golden rule. So I'm gonna call this a principle that God has given us. And first of all, if you're willing to compare it to the golden rule, you could say, you know what, I'm familiar with that. Jesus said that all things whatsoever you would that men should do to you, do ye even so to them. So in other words, not only is there a familiarity with this principle, but there's a fairness in this principle. I think what Jesus is saying is, hey, the way that you want others to treat you, treat them that way. It's interesting. Every once in a while, somebody will come to me and say, Pastor Earl, I love Beth Abraham Baptist Church, but I came there 3 weeks in a row and nobody shook my hand. I just don't think they're friendly. And in a kind way, I've said to many people, not my own, a few people, I've said, how many hands did you shake? Well, why would I shake their hands if they're not shaking mine? Well, what does the Bible say? The Bible says, therefore, whatsoever ye would that men would do to you, do ye even so to them. And you know what we do sometimes? We take what somebody else didn't do for us and we use it against them rather than saying, maybe I should take the opportunity to walk across the aisle. Hey, we still give you a time of greeting after that first verse of the first song. But no, Pastor Cole, nobody came up to me. Who did you go up to? Sometimes we're waiting for that person to make the first step. And I think Jesus said, why don't you take the first step? Maybe that person walked out and said, man, that person's been here for 3 weeks. They didn't even shake my hand. You know what I learned? I don't know what people think. I don't even know that I want to know what people think. You know what I'm saying? I just know this. We sometimes give people way too much credit. We think, I think that person's thinking about me or talking about me. I think people probably talk about us a whole lot less than we think. If their life is anything like mine, my life is so full of issues sometimes between church and school and this, that, and the other and three adult children and three son-in-laws. I mean, three grandchildren. I guess it's the number three. It just keeps coming back and forth in my life all the time. And I'm like, I don't even have time to think about things that I probably should think about. Are we okay? My throat's not. Hold on. Oh, if it's this bad, I got to cut this thing short. We don't want to do that, amen? No. Therefore, all things whatsoever you would that men should do even so to them. For this is the law and the prophets. Now, when you see that phrase, especially in the Gospels, when Jesus said, this is the law and the prophets, here's what he's saying. This is the Bible. At this time, the Gospels hadn't been written yet. So when they talked about the law and the prophets, that was the only portion of the written scripture they had and of the verbal scripture, if you will, that they had, the law and the prophets. So Jesus was literally saying, he said, you want to write something down? He said, hey, this is Bible, not just New Testament age. This goes back to the Old Testament. He said, whatever you want somebody to do for you, do it for them. Maybe he even meant this. Maybe he even meant you should do it first. Well, that would be a crazy thing to do, Pastor. It really would, wouldn't it? If rather than waiting for everybody else to pour kindnesses on us, if we said, you know what, I'm just going to take it upon myself to be kind to others. I have never left here, Brother Bergen, ever, and said, you know what, so-and-so didn't shake my hand. You know why? I go around and shake everybody else's hand. I know after church I'll get to shake hands with a few, but there's some people that will go out to the gym and some will be holding, you know, children when they go out, so I might not get a chance. So I try to scour the auditorium before I preach and try to shake every hand that I can. I've never left here and said, well, nobody ever shook my hand. I probably shook 150 hands this morning. I shook some people's hands more than once this morning. I'm okay with that. What am I supposed to do?
Tammy, nobody shook my hand at church today. I don't even want to go back tonight.
You know, there's some people that live that way. She said, no. If you want your hand shook, then shake somebody else's hand. If you want somebody to do something nice for you, why don't you do something nice for somebody else? My prayer list, I circle names when people have passed away. I was looking at my prayer list yesterday, and I saw Drew Gordon's name there. Tammy and I were talking with Nikki the other day, and she said, I just can't believe all the things that people have done for our family since Drew's passed away. And I said, I can. Because Drew gave to other people. Where's Tony? I heard his voice back there. On more than one occasion, Tony would come to me and say, Pastor, is anybody in the church that needs some work done, Drew, and I want to go do it? They didn't charge anything. Just for the supplies if they didn't have them. They said, we just want to use it to be a blessing. And they weren't waiting for people to come to their house and work on their house, but they were willing to go to other people's houses and work. And you know what God said? God said, if you give somebody a cup of cold water in my name, God said, you won't lose your reward. And little did Drew know that God was going to cut his life short, at least in our mind. But yet God was going to use it as an opportunity to say, Drew, you took care of others, so now we're going to let others take care of your wife and your children. See, that's Matthew chapter 7. See, sometimes we're just waiting back saying, okay, give me. Who's going to take care of me? Who's going to take? And maybe what we rather should do is find somebody else who has a need and try to meet that need and then just sit back and say, God, if anything good's going to come of this, it's only going to be because of you. And then you watch as God opens the windows of heaven and you say, Pastor Cole, where's all this money come from? I'll tell you where it's coming from. Just like when Jesus said in Luke chapter 6, he said when you give, he said men are going to give back to you, but it's going to be shaken down. It's going to be running over. And you're going to reap more than what you sowed. Can I just say this, church? And I mean this from the bottom of my heart. If I ever hear anybody make a negative comment about Beth Haven Baptist Church, I take it very personally. Very personally. This isn't the church I pastor. This is my church. I know it's God's church, but this is my church. I'm as close and maybe closer to some of you people than I'm some of my own family members. When I come around and say hello to you on Sunday morning, Sunday Wednesday night, I'm not doing it because I'm the pastor. I'm doing it because I care about you. I love you. A gentleman that had an interview this past Monday for a job, and I prayed all week long, God, just give him wisdom. I saw him this morning, and I said, what'd you do? He said, I took the job, and I said, you know what? I said, I think you did the right thing. I said, if I was hiring a person for that position, I would hire you. I said, I think you fit it to a T. I said, I think you're going to do a great job. Can I tell you why? Because I think about you all during the week. When I take my prayer list, and I pray for one half of the church one day and the other half the next day, I think about you through the day. I sent Mark Wagner a text this morning. I got up and I was praying for Mark Wagner. I sent him a text. I said, I'm praying for God to bless your preaching today and bless your services today. And I said, just have a wonderful day today in the Lord's house. You know what Jesus is saying? Just be good to others, and you might be surprised how good they are to you. If you want them to be good to you, then just be good to them. And you know what I found? There's some that might be that might never be good to you. They might reward you evil for good. You know what Jesus said? He said, overcome that. Overcome evil with good. Don't be overcome with evil. I know it's probably not good, but I look at the New Testament sometimes and I'm like, you know what? Even Jesus wasn't popular in his day. There were people that hated him. He picked the Bible up in Luke chapter 4 and preached a message that was probably about 4 minutes long, maybe 3 minutes long. I'd think that'd be shouting ground right there, man. The preacher gets up, sits down 3 minutes later, woohoo! They're ready to run him out of town. They wanted to kill him after what he said. 3 minutes, maybe less. So I know sometimes it's not always a popular position, but can I say this? This church is full of some of the finest people, not in Montcalm County, not in Michigan, in this world. I mean that, and God knows that's true. You've got some of the best hearts. If I got up this morning and said I need 5 meals for somebody, I could fill 5 meals in probably less than 30 seconds. And I know when you cook a meal and you transport that meal and then you come back, cook a meal for your own family, go to Meijer, go to Walmart, get all the ingredients, put everything together, it's not something that you just flippantly do. And I watch ladies put their hands up without even thinking about it. And there's some times where I might ask for 5 meals and I might see 15 hands go up. Can I tell you why? Because you have some of the finest hearts of anybody that I know. Church, let's never lose that. Let's not sit back and say, well, nobody's done anything for me. Can I say this? You just keep doing for others. And you know what? If nobody else does something for you, God will. Because he will not forget your work and labor of love. He promised that in the book of Hebrews. And can I say this, church? You are absolutely unbelievable. In a couple weeks, we'll host a pastor's meeting. Let me throw this out there, quick commercial. We're going to have a pastor's meeting in October. And the last couple years, I've given the pastors and their families some gift cards. So if you could just get a plethora of $10 gift cards, McDonald's, Taco Bell, Subway, Culver's, whatever, TJ Maxx, Five Below, whatever. We'll put them all together, and we'll put them in little baskets or whatever and get them to the pastors or their families. And probably one of the saddest things I've heard is we've done that for the last couple of years, and a couple years ago, one of the guys gave me a check for $2,000, said, Pastor Crowell, can you give every pastor that's your $100 bill? And another guy went and took $2,000 cash out of the bank and brought it to me and said, could you give them $100? Give each pastor $100 that's here. In the last couple years, we've done some nice things like that. And I bet I've had at least 5 or 6 pastors come to me and say, Pastor Crowell, can you just tell your church thank you? Because our church never does anything like this for us. And I'm thinking, it was a couple hundred dollars. I'm thinking, what do you mean your church doesn't do extra things for you? I could keep here till the cows came home tonight just telling you how good this church has been to Tammy and I and my family. And you know what God's done? He's returned the favor. He's given us a building that's paid for. We're going to put a nice gym floor down for, I'll be honest with you, gentlemen, my basketball days are behind me. They were probably behind me when I was in 10th grade, and I thought, yeah, I'm the next big superstar. You know what I'm saying? They were behind me then. I'll be honest with you, I'll walk on it, but other than that, well, I might play pickleball on it, but you know, other than that, I won't get to play volleyball on it. I won't get to play basketball on it. But I want to see your kids doing that. I want to see your kids, if they fall on something a little bit softer than 100% concrete. And you know what makes that possible? effect in the way that you give? And you might say, Pastor Earl, nobody ever does anything for me. Can I say this? Just solace yourself with this. You are sitting in the midst of people that do that all the time for others. And maybe you just want to be thankful that nobody's really maybe needed to come to your aid. Maybe you want to count it a blessing that you've never had an unexpected death in your family. Maybe never has had an extended illness in your family. Man, I've watched people in our church go through extended illnesses. I was in Walmart the other day and ran into little Aubrey Spawn. I remember when she went to the hospital and I saw the CAT scan and the MRI, and it looked like her little skull had just exploded. She was in the hospital for weeks and weeks and months. And I watched our church family go up to the hospital and sit with Rob and Sarah, and I watched them take meals to that family, and we took up several love offerings for them. And Michigan State Police did an investigation, and I took the police into the home and showed them where it happened, and social workers got involved, and God brought all the right people along at the right time. It was just absolutely amazing. And I just watched how a church family just kind of came together and said, we're here to take care of one of our own. That's what Jesus meant in Matthew chapter 7. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to take up that much time. The meat of my message is verses 7 through 11. I'll be quick. Jesus said in verse 7, ask and it shall be given to you. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, him to knock and it shall be opened. Or what man is there of you whom if his son ask bread, will he give him a stone? Are there any bread eaters in here? Man, Tim will testify this. I love bread. I love it. I love toast. I love bread. I love rolls. You know what I'm saying? If we're at a restaurant, I want bread. You know what I'm saying? I want it hot. I want it fresh. And when that basket's empty, it means we want a refill. You know what I'm saying? Bring some more. You say, Pastor Cole, bread's bad for you. Oh, I know it is. That's why I exercise, and, you know, I try to do everything I can to compensate for it because I love bread. Could you imagine going to a restaurant and saying, man, could I have another loaf of that bread? And she brings you a bunch of stones. You say, what kind of a waitress are you? You said, what kind of a father, if you said, hey, Dad, could I have a piece of bread? Pass me another piece of bread, Dad. No, you've been eating too much, and he passes you a rock. You'd be like, well, that's a crock. That's a rock. Or if he ask a fish, will he give him a serpent? Could you imagine asking your dad for a fish and he hands you a snake? I'm glad my dad had a reverence and a respect and a hatred for snakes like I do. So I never had to worry about that. Ask and it shall be given you. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. I heard a preacher say that if you want to look for an acrostic for the word ask, here it is. Ask, seek, and knock. It's pretty good. It's God-given. It's given from Christ. I think that word ask talks about our dependence. Why would we ask? Because we have a need for something. Somebody else has a need for something. Or there's a shortage of something. So we would ask. Why would we seek for something? I think seeking reveals our desire. Have you ever asked God for something before? Michael, have you ever asked God for something before and you got it? Okay. Have you ever asked, you got a wife, praise the Lord, Miss Charity. Did you ever ask God for something and you didn't get it? Did that make God any less God? No. So you have one of two choices. We either say, well, he didn't answer it, so maybe, you know, I'm asking amiss, you know, according to James chapter 4. Or maybe we say, you know what? I didn't get it the first time, so I'm just going to keep asking. Oh, where's your mom? In Florida, they went to the promised land. I mean, they went to Florida. I was going to use your mom as an example. Terry Wagner prayed for her dad to get saved, I think for 49 years. 49 years. I was there in the hospital the day he got saved. She could have prayed for him once or twice and said, well, God didn't answer that prayer. My dad still got a hardened heart, so maybe he'll just never get saved. No, here's what she did. She asked, and then she started to seek, And then she just kept knocking, because knocking is diligence. Remember in Luke chapter 18, 1, Jesus said, and he spake for unto them, unto men to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint. Remember he told about the judge, there was an unjust judge, and this widow woman came to him, and he kept telling her, no, no, no. But finally one day he said, you know what? This same woman keeps coming in here every day. Why don't I just give her what she wants, and she'll just leave me alone? And Jesus said, because of her persistence, she got what she asked for. And Jesus said, that's the same way we should be when it comes to our prayer life. If you've got a prayer that you've been asking for, or a particular need or want, whatever it is, it's on your prayer list, and you say, scroll, I have prayed and prayed and prayed. I've asked God, and he hasn't answered it yet. They say that there's three ways that God answers prayer, either yes, no, or not yet. Sometimes we don't know exactly the mind of Christ, and we don't know the mind of God. And all we can do in our fleshly minds and in our fleshly abilities is to just keep asking. The Bible says in Romans chapter 8 that the Spirit helpeth our infirmities because we don't know what we should pray for as we ought. He can speak in ways that we can't speak. He can take our prayers and line it up with the will of God because he knows the will of God that we don't. And all we can do is just take that prayer before God and ask and ask and ask. And seek and seek and seek and knock and knock and knock. And then look at the Bible says in verse number 11. If ye then being evil know how to give good gifts unto your children. It's kind of an interesting statement. Jesus said, if you being evil know how to give good gifts unto your children, look at what it says. How much more shall your Father which is in heaven give good things to them that ask him? So the Bible says if we being evil, if we can give good things to our children, how much more will our Father which is in heaven give good things to them that ask him? Brother John Hamblin would be here today. He would say something like this. He would say every passage in Scripture has a sister passage somewhere. There's another passage that correlates with this passage. In this particular case, it's Luke chapter 11, verse 13. Jesus said, if ye then being evil, not to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? It's interesting. In Matthew chapter 7, talking about prayer, Jesus said, if ye then being evil know to give good gifts unto your children, how much more then shall your Father which is in heaven give good things to them that ask him? And then in the Gospel of Luke, it records that Jesus said, how much more will your Father which is in heaven give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? Now, don't let me confuse you this morning, because I'm convinced, church, the day you got saved, you got all of the Holy Spirit you're ever going to get. But there may be some things that the Holy Spirit can do for you that we need to ask for. Number one might be guidance. John 16, 13, howbeit when he, the Spirit of the truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. Do you realize, and I've talked with people and say, Pastor Carl, I just can't understand my Bible and I just can't understand the King James Bible. Can I say this? When you get saved, the Bible says the Holy Spirit comes and lives inside of you, and one of his responsibilities is to guide you into all truth. But maybe the reason he's not guiding us is because we're not asking. We're not seeking. We're not knocking. Brother Wenger, I thought, I don't know why, when I became a pastor, I thought 3 years into this thing, I'm going to have this preaching thing down, and man, I'll be able to grab an outline and alliterate it, outline it, however, and just get up and preach. You know what I found? The longer I'm in the ministry, the harder it is for me. There are times I spend more time on a message now than I did 20 years ago. Then I'll go back and look at my messages 20 years ago. I'm like, well, I can see why. Some of you dear people are still here. You're like, we remember. Do you know what the Holy Spirit wants to do, church? He wants to guide you into all truth. That's not all. Oh, let me find this passage real quick. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 11. But all these work at that one and the selfsame Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he will. Not only Does the Holy Spirit want to guide you into all truth? But the Holy Spirit, can I say this? He wants to gift you. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 12, dealing with spiritual gifts, that the Holy Spirit gives to every man severally as he will. I've talked to people and said, oh, Pastor Kroll, I just have one gift. Not according to the Bible. According to the Bible, you have more than one. You have several. And at the very last verse in that chapter, verse number 31, the Bible says, covet the best gifts. In other words, the Holy Spirit's saying, if there are some gifts that you don't have, you might need to say, Holy Spirit, I wish I had this gift. I wish I had the gift of patience. I wish I had the gift of teaching. I wish I had the gift of exhortation, whatever the case might be. You say, Pastor Kroll, why would I ask for a spiritual gift? Not for ourselves. Not for anybody to pat us on the back and say, oh, look at him. He is just loaded with spiritual gifts. The reason we want spiritual gifts is so the Holy Spirit can work in us and through us and for his honor and glory. It's for him. I was scheduled to go to prison this morning, and my throat is bad, my back is bad, and I said, I'll be good if I can get through two messages, let alone three. So I asked Chuck if he'd go in for me this morning, and bless her, he and Pat went to prison this morning, and they turned him away because they were understaffed. They didn't even get to preach a message in prison this morning. But God knew that. And the messages that they had prepared, maybe they weren't just for the prisoners, maybe they were for them. Or maybe God wanted them to work on it a little bit more, so the next time they get a chance to preach it, they'll maybe have worked a few more and put a few more thoughts down, maybe change it a little bit, and when they actually preach it, they might say, wow, that really makes sense. Because we look at it today and say, well, that doesn't make sense. Why did all the guards call off, and you didn't have enough staffing to even let us go and have church? And that's happened to us several times. God already knew that. So all we can do is just put our best foot forward and say, okay, we'll just make sure that the next opportunity, we're going to be ready to go. And whatever gift God gives you, just use it for him. See, I'm convinced that he wants to guide us into all truth. He wants to gift us to do the work that only God can do through us. And in Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 29, the Bible refers to the Holy Spirit, get this, as the Spirit of grace. I preached a message years ago, and I wouldn't expect anybody to believe it. In fact, somebody brought it up to me the other day and said, Preacher, you remember this message? And I'm like, as a matter of fact, I do. Because every time I think of grace, I think of that message. And I preached a message, and my title of it was that my greatest need. And I preached that my greatest need was for the grace of God in my life. And you may say, oh, Pastor, oh, that just seems a little maybe far-fetched, or maybe that's just a good preaching term to use. But according to Acts chapter 4, verse 33, the Holy Spirit gives us grace for soul winning. Do you know why some people don't witness? Because they're afraid they're not going to have the right things to say. They're afraid they're going to get tongue-tied. They're afraid the person they're going to talk to is just going to make fun of them and make light of them, and they're just going to be so embarrassed. But you know what my Bible says? That the Holy Spirit will give us grace for witnessing. Number two. In Romans chapter 5, verse 2, the Bible says that we stand by grace. You know what gives us the ability to take a stand and to keep that stand? It's not our personalities. It's the grace of God. It's the Holy Spirit of grace that comes alongside and says, I am going to equip you to stand and to keep that stand. In 2 Corinthians chapter 8, I'm convinced our stewardship is part of the grace of God. If you wrote out a tithe check this week, filled it out, or went on tithe this week and put it in, I don't know if this ever happens to you. It doesn't happen to me a lot, but every once in a while, Holy Spirit will say, man, you could do a lot with that money. Oh, yeah, good. There's a lot I could do with that money, but nothing better than I can do than to give it to God. Because God can give me a whole lot more in return if he wants to. And if he doesn't have to. I took something back the other day, and I paid a considerable amount of money for it. I'll just tell you, it was my sleep apnea machine. I took it back. So pray for Tammy. She needs it. She got up this morning. She said at 2 o'clock, couldn't sleep till 5 o'clock because I was snoring so bad. But I found something out with that sleep apnea machine. I couldn't figure out why I felt like I was drowning with air being pushed into my nostrils. Because I can breathe out of my right nostril, I cannot breathe out of my left nostril. It is 100% blocked, just blocked. I could demonstrate, but I won't. I'll save you, spare you the pain. So I finally figured out it's trying to force air into a nostril and nothing's going in there. So I guess we're trying to come up and go up the other one. I don't know what it's doing, but I'm just like, you know, Michael says, oh, Pastor Carl, I can't sleep without mine. I'm like, I can't sleep with mine. So I take it back and they said, oh, they said it's used and it's supposed to be in the packaging and this, that, and the other. And they said, oh, you paid $950 for it. They said, we can't promise you any amount of money because it's got to go to the home office. They've got to look at it. And they said, you know, you might get back maybe $500, maybe half. But they said probably not much more than that. And I'm thinking, okay, do I take it and sell it on eBay? What do I put on Facebook Marketplace? And so I just said, God, I'm just going to give it. I turned it in. I called them a week and a half later. And the lady said, oh, that hasn't been processed yet. Let me call and see if I can follow through. She called, literally called me back in about 30 minutes. She said, Kevin, I got some maybe good news for you. And she said, you paid $954 and $100 were non-refundable items, your mask and all that and the tubing and all that. So she said, we were down to $850. And she said, home office, want to know if it's okay if we just discounted another $100 and gave you $750 back. I'm like, yes. They verbally told me $500 maybe. And I got more back than that. You know, it was completely out of my control. So I just walked out of there and said, God, whatever I get back, I get back. I get it all back, fine. If I get none of it back, I at least went through the process. And Tammy knows I loved her enough to have a sleep test, get a sleep apnea machine, and I can't breathe out of my nose, so at least we got to go back to plan B, whatever that was. And, we got to go to the ear, nose, and throat doctor and get my nose cleared out, something like that. So just life is just crazy the way it works out. But you know what I found? If you honor God, He'll honor you. If you understand the importance of stewardship, God has control of money that comes your way, and God can do things that you never could do on your own. It's called the grace for stewardship. I'm not done yet, but I'm almost done. In Galatians chapter 6, verse 18, the Bible says that we need the grace of God to be with our spirit. You ever just have a bad day when you feel grumpy? Feel like you want to put a sign around your neck, stay away from me, I'm not having a good day. I am the grumpster today. You know what you need on a day like that? The grace of God. In fact, can I say this? We even on a good day need the grace of God. Because one conversation can turn you south. One expression on somebody's face can turn your day around. And if we don't have the grace of God working in our spirit, we can be barking out orders and literally just chopping people's heads off with our words if we're not careful. It's funny because we get to Colossians chapter 3, and the Bible says that we need grace for singing. Do you like to sing? I like to sing. I can't sing, but I like to sing. But singing is a good thing. And the Bible said that we're to sing with grace in Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 4 said that we need grace for our speech, so that our words are right. In Titus chapter 2, the Bible says we need grace to live a separated life. In Hebrews chapter 12, the Bible says that we need grace to serve. And in 1 Peter chapter 3, the Bible said that we need grace to have the right relationships with our spouses. And that's just the tip of the iceberg. So you look at Matthew chapter 7, and I see this preference where Jesus said, don't cast that which is holy to the dogs, and don't cast your pearls before swine. Don't give that which is holy and valuable to that which is vile and violent. What's he saying? Don't try to share spiritual truths with people. He just said, be careful, because there's going to be some people that are going to use it against you. Then they're going to take what you say to them, and they're going to trample it, and then they're just going to tear you in half. Be careful for that. Then he says in verse number 12, he said, hey, whatever you want people to do for you, do to them. And I'm thinking he was insinuating, and don't even wait for them to start doing what you want them to do for you. You might be surprised when you start doing things for others. Did not Jesus say that it's better to give than to receive? You ever given something to somebody, and they came back to you and said, Pastor Carl, what a blessing. Brother Rodney Ruppel was here a few weeks ago on a Wednesday night. Preached, I think, just a fabulous message from the lips of a missionary. It was just fabulous. We took up a love offering that night, and typically a good love offering on a Wednesday night would be $500 to $600. If it got close to $1,000, that's just an exceptional offering. Gordon met me in the lobby, and he handed me this thing, and Gordon, bless his heart, he was grinning from ear to ear. He loves big love offerings. He was grinning from ear to ear, and he was hiding the piece of paper, and I said, how much was it? And he said, guess. I said, $1,000. He said, no. I said, $2,000. He said, no. I said, $3,000. He said, more. I said, oh, come on, Gordon. It's a Wednesday night. There's nobody here. He said, there was enough to give almost $3,300. So we added $200 to it, gave Brother Rupel a check for $3,500. I'm talking with him in the lobby, and I hand him the check. Some guys, you know, try to be real spiritual and just put it in their pocket. He just took it and looked at it. And he looked at me, and he said, Pastor Crowley, said, what is this for? He said, it's just a love offering. I said, you mentioned you're going back to Cambodia in a few weeks. I said, how much are your plane tickets going to cost? And he turned the check around and said, that much. And he said, and we didn't have the money, and we've been praying for God to meet the need of $3,500 to get us back to Cambodia. And he said, Pastor Cole, this was an add-on meeting because we stayed a couple extra weeks, and God used your people on a Wednesday night to meet a huge financial need in our life. You know what that said to me? It said two things. Number one, it said somebody in this auditorium was listening to the Holy Spirit. When the Holy Spirit said, give a little bit more. And there was a man that was standing behind this pulpit. And God said, Brother Rupel, you've given, and you've given, and you've given. So now let me give back to you. How much more can God give good things to them that ask Him? Heavenly Father, help us this morning. What a great God we serve. The Sermon on the Mount is clearly the greatest message ever preached by the greatest preacher who ever preached. We looked at some thoughts on preference this morning, some thoughts on prayer, some thoughts on the principle of doing unto others as we would want them to do unto us. God, may we look at our own lives this morning and say, how are we matching up? Are we praying like we should or like we could? Are we asking and seeking and knocking? Or do we just give up the first time it doesn't get answered? Do we look for other people that have needs that we can meet, or are we just waiting for everybody else to meet our needs? Because that can be a pretty difficult way to live. God, you've made some things very clear in your word. May we not only be hearers of your word, but may we be doers as well. God, maybe there's somebody here today that doesn't know you as their personal Savior. If they were to die today, they have no hope that heaven would be their home. God, I pray that today would be their day of salvation. If they'd meet me right down here in front, we'd love nothing more than to take a Bible and show them how they can leave here this morning knowing they're saved and on their way to heaven. Maybe there's Christians that have needs, and maybe even needs that weren't even preached on this morning, but Holy Spirit, you're not limited to what I said this morning. As the invitation's given, may they come and do business at the altar with you, and may you be the one that's edified and glorified this morning. Speak to hearts in the invitation in Jesus' name. Amen. Would you all stand, please, with your heads bowed?